Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 to 40 says this: One of them, an expert in the religious law, tried to trap Jesus, him, with this question: Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law? The King James says, which is the first, or which is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Now, Jesus is making it simple for us. He says, I'm giving you the condensed version of the gospel. I'm giving you the condensed version of what my will is and what my desire is. He says, all the law and all the prophets, everything that the prophets said previously and everything that's previously written in the law, all comes down in a nutshell to these two commandments. They are both equally important, but they have to be in proper order. God is a God of order. And so he gives us his order here, and he says, on these two commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart first, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself second, right? Now, the message I want to share with you this morning is simply this: in the kingdom of God, relationship always comes before responsibility. If you have that backwards or out of order, then you need to get it in order. Relationship, God is very relational. Not just in the legal sense of our being justified and born again, but in a personal, intimate, feeling way, God gives us our emotions as well. I appreciate Kate and her prayer saying, we just feel you, Lord. How many are happy that you can feel God? You're not just told, that these are the facts here and you figure them out, and in some cold mechanical way you try to follow the Ten Commandments in order to be right with God. No. God is deeply and intimately desiring to be relational with us in an even deeper level than we have ever known. If you think you're close to the Lord, and most of us don't think that we are, close to the Lord with regards to our relationship with him. Again, I'm not talking about the legal document of being justified. I'm talking about our experience in our relational walk with God day by day. God is primarily and created you in the image of God so that he could have a relationship with you. God is deeply relational, and God wants, the good news is, God wants a relationship with you. He gave his Son to reconcile us to the Father so that we could have a relationship with him. And John says in 1 John, this is our joy. He says, I'm telling you this so that your joy would be full. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our fellowship is with God. How's that going for you? Are you still in fellowship with God? Are you still walking with God? Are you still an individual who can say and not just sing the words? It's one thing to sing the words. It's another thing to walk in it. He walks with me and he talks with me. You see, unfortunately, I know people who honestly are able to say, well, he walks with mom and he talked with grandpa. But no. The question is, does he walk with you? I don't care how young you are, Emily, or others. You might be 13, you might be 17, you might be 5. God has relationship with children, not just adults. God desires to have a relationship. Now you hear me. God desires to have a relationship with children and teenagers and 20-year-olds and 30-somethings and 40-somethings and 60-somethings and 80-somethings. And God is desiring. The Bible tells us that it's not only the will of God, it's the desire of God. And Isaiah uses this word. He says, God yearns. Not because he needs you. God is self-sufficient in himself. He is complete in himself. This is what makes this so amazing and so wonderful. He doesn't need us to fulfill himself, but we certainly need him to fulfill ourselves. We were created as worshiping beings. God created us for his pleasure. And he gets pleasure out of having a relationship with you. Never mind the one next to you. We have a terrible habit of thinking that it applies to him, or it applies to her, or the one across the way. No, no, God wants a relationship with you. God wants a close, living, vital, daily, hearing his voice, walking. I don't know what we would do if we didn't hear the voice of God. Have you heard God speak to you lately? Someone says, well, that's a little bit too spiritual for me, you know, the voice of God. And people say, God said to me, and that's a little bit too spiritual. Well, you're missing a very important aspect of being relational with God. God speaks to us primarily, first and foremost, through his word. He makes his word come alive in our hearts, and he speaks to us. And if you're not reading it on a regular basis, how's he going to speak to you? Well, somebody says he gives me, I have these nudges, these spiritual inclinations towards the things of God. Well, you know, God does use that at times. But his primary method to speak to us is through his word. And I'm saying to you that God wants a two-way, living, vital, spiritual, wonderful. God wants, isn't that amazing, though? You won't hear any better news than that, my friend. God, the eternal King, God, the King of glory, the everlasting God, God wants to know, he knows you, but God wants you to know him, and God wants to have a relationship with you. Amen? Whatever walk in life, whatever our calling, whatever direction we go, God wants to walk with you. Not the one, never mind the one next to you. You leave them between them and God. God wants a personal relationship with you. And somebody says, well, you don't know what I've done, Pastor. I don't know what you've done, but I know God wants a relationship with you. Well, you don't know the shame that I carry. You don't know the brokenness. You don't know what I've been through. No, but God does, and I'm here to tell you this morning that he still wants a personal relationship with you. If you're in a mess, he wants to walk with you. If you're facing a fiery furnace, he wants to be the fourth man in it with you. God wants to be wanted. Not that he needs to be wanted, as I said, but he wants to be wanted. He wants to manifest his greatness and his glory through us. And in order to be effective for God in whatever walk of life we're in, we have to be close to him. Close enough that we sense and know that he's speaking to us, and he's assuring us of our salvation and our adoption and the wonderful anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, when the presence of God and the anointing of the Spirit comes upon us, isn't it wonderful? Just like in worship this morning. That's why I love to come to church. Because we can worship. That's why I like being in this church. Because we can worship. And when we worship, it always draws like a magnet. The ministry and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the reality of God and all that God is and all that God wants to do. If you want to kick the Holy Spirit into gear, so to speak, worship God. An avenue to release the anointing and to release spiritual power from heaven is the avenue of worship. And I say that we're not where God wants us to be yet in worshiping him. The freedom of expression to worship God brings the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he does the work that you cannot do. He changes the heart. He changes the mind. He gives direction. We just have to worship. Amen? Now, that's not all that big of a task. Well, I guess it may be at times when we don't feel like worshiping, or we're in a deep storm and we can hardly lift our hands. And there are times in our Christian walk, as Arthur shared with us, and thank you for sharing what you shared, Arthur. But this is what the Lord says. First, he says, We got to get the order correct. First, thou shalt love the Lord thy God himself. Now listen to me careful. First, thou shalt get this straight. It's my paraphrased version. First, thou shalt love the Lord thy God himself. Not church, not people, not your neighbors, not missions, not the church, not the work of God, not world missions, not the world, nothing. All those things are important, but not first. You see, this is where we get ourselves in trouble. We get ourselves sometimes so preoccupied with the Word of God that we lose God. And that is possible. I've seen people who were burnt out because they were so occupied and preoccupied in doing the work of God that God was left in the dust. Now, that's between a man and God, but it's possible, is what I'm saying. The point is, this is the pattern laid out for us in Scripture, that if we're going to succeed and last and be effective in this battle, we have to follow God's way. We have to do it God's way. You'll succeed if you do it God's way. And the pattern is laid out for us in Scripture. In other words, we must reach up before we ever reach out. We must touch the heart of God before we can ever effectively and lastingly touch the heart of men. We must find favor with God before we ever find favor with men. And sometimes that can be a contradiction. First things first. It's laid out for us, the pattern in Scripture is hard to be missed. God gave Moses specific instructions of how to build a tabernacle. This is the material you use. You dare not use any other material. He said to Noah, he gave him specific instructions of how to build an ark, right? Go and get gopher wood. Now, Noah, don't go and get plywood. Don't go and get maple. Go and get gopher wood. Or like some people said, he sent Noah to go for wood. He just told him to go for wood. No, it's something called gopher wood, whatever that is. I don't know. I better be careful because you guys around here, you don't like gophers. You're just a nasty bunch when it comes to gophers. You just light right up, smile and everything. Say, I want to go gopher hunting. Sean, he loves gopher hunting. He just lights up like... I know your reasons why. Anyway, sidetracked. Whatever gopher wood I... But my point is this. Specific instructions from Scripture. This is exactly what you do. You build it this high. The altar has to be this high, not this high, not that high. It has to be this height, this measurement. You overlay it with these materials. You do this, 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 and this, and God's power and God's presence and God's blessing will be upon you if you do it exactly as I tell you. And that's exactly what the pattern that's laid out for us in Scripture. So it is with you and I. God told Solomon exactly how to build a temple. He told the prophets the exact words that they were to say. You do not say anything except the words, the word of the Lord came unto me saying... And then they gave the word of the Lord. They didn't go outside the word of the Lord. They were cautious not to add to the word of the Lord or to change the word of the Lord. It didn't even make sense to them, some of the things that he showed them and spoke to them. But he said, go and say it and speak it in my name. I'm putting my words in your mouth. And don't you say anything else or you'll be classified with the false prophets. Don't add to it. Stick to the word and you'll be okay. That's a word of wisdom for us. The Scripture is our foundation. And so relationship always is primary in God's kingdom. If we do not have relationship with God, we don't even walk with God. Our relationship is always primary or always first. And then he goes on to say, the second is like unto it. Now, he doesn't mean second in importance because it's very important to love your neighbor as yourself. He means second in order. In other words, don't get the cart before the horse. In other words, you can't just go out and start loving your neighbor until you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind first. In other words, make the loving of God the priority, and then when you make that the priority, God will add anointing and add oil, and the words that you speak will be living, and the words that you speak would be anointed with the life of the Holy Spirit, and those words would be rooted, and they would grow, and they would accomplish, and they would not return void. Sometimes we just play hit and miss. We haven't prayed about it first. We had better be careful that we saturate it in prayer first. Why? Because that oil is the machinery, and we're just the machinery. And if we're just machinery without relationship with God, then we have a form of religion, but we deny the power thereof. We're like a radio that's not plugged in, useless. We're like a Christian that's not plugged in. A Christian that's hit and miss sort of thing. God doesn't want us to walk in hit and miss. He wants to give us, he wants to put the words in our mouth. He wants us to pray about it and call down the anointing of God to go before us. And so when you go and speak to an individual, now your words are alive. Now your words, the Holy Spirit, your words become living. And God begins to accomplish. It has to be bathed in prayer. Things have to be bathed in prayer. Now, I know that we're all hit and miss at times because we're human beings, but it's still the calling. It's still where God wants us in order for our ministries to be effective. And I say that this morning because there are those who would say, well, you know, and they call this Christianity. Let's just do our best. Let's just love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's just love our brothers. Let's just make a good effort to help the poor and the less fortunate. And then they call that Christianity. My friend, that is not Christianity. That is religion without Christ. Now, Christianity includes that if we follow the order. That comes second if we got the first straight first. And so it includes that, but it is not based upon that. What is Christianity? Well, Christianity is this. Be ye reconciled unto God. You sinners, repent and clean your hands and come before a holy God and receive the anointing and the power and the ability and the assistance of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. That is Christianity. First and foremost, what is it? Repent and be baptized. Be reconciled to God. You see, there are those, and I've met plenty of them, who say, no, I don't have to be born again. I don't have to be saved. You know, I'll just be a nice fella. I'll go to church regularly, and I'll toss in my money, and I'll just be a good neighbor, and I'm as good as they are. And no. Listen, you can do all that without Christ. You can do all that without being a Christian. It's what they call these days Christless Christianity. It's an oxymoron. It's laughable. Christless Christianity. To be a Christian, you must be in relationship with the Christ. You must know, not only from the Scripture, but from experience, that He's the risen Christ. That He's alive. That He speaks into your life. That He guides you. That He directs you. That He orders your life. That He allows you at times, believe it or not, to go through deep wilderness experiences. I'm always amazed at the verse of Scripture that says when Jesus went down into the Jordan to be baptized of John and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. And then the following verse says, and when he came out of the water, which shows he was immersed. But anyway, and when he came up out of, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That Scripture always amazes me. That's telling us something. That's telling us that sometimes when we have our deepest encounters with the living God and we swear that nothing could ever go wrong again, right after that can be the darkest hour. Right after that, we can be led by the Spirit into some wilderness experience where we wonder a little while later, where's God anyway? And previously we thought that God was everywhere, and now we wonder if He's anywhere. That's the living reality and experience of most All Christians that I know, certainly been mine, and I got a sneaky suspicion it's been yours. And the Bible says the angels came and ministered, and he fasted 40 days and nights, and he was a hungry. Most of us would have had a meal by now. And angels came and strengthened him and ministered unto him. Christianity is this: be reconciled unto God, then do the works of God. Love God first, and then your neighbor as yourself. Don't start with your neighbor. Start with God. Why? Because the scriptural pattern for us is say, start with God, right? Start with God. Why do we start with God? Because the Bible does. In the beginning, God. Start your day with God. Start your choice with God. Start your walk with God. The scripture gives us a pattern and specific instructions to follow. Jesus is making it simple and condensed here. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. And then the second is something like unto it, although it must come second. Then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Don't turn it around. Keep it that way. Make every effort to keep it that way. Make an effort to do it right, to do it God's way, and you will succeed. In fact, I would even go so far as to say, if one does not love God first, he isn't even a Christian. Relationship always comes before responsibility. Because our God is a relational God. He values. Do we realize? No, we don't realize. It's hard for us to get our minds around the value that God places upon a relationship with you. For God so loved the world. You. The value. He values a relationship with you so much so. Oh, my prayers that every individual would get a whole of the truth and the reality of this. Why is that? Because I meet people occasionally who claim that they are serving the Lord and in relationship with Him, and then when something goes wrong in their home, they give up following Him. I even know people who say, well, the wife don't go to church no more, and so I don't go. Like, where's your relationship with God? Well, my husband stopped going, and so I don't go either. My husband stopped serving the Lord, and so I stopped serving. It makes me question whether one actually walked with the Lord, with Him in relationship. How can you let go? To know Him is to love Him, to experience His presence and His power, and to walk with Him and to know the glory of a real relationship between you and God. Really, if it's deep enough, should not affect whether another stands with God or not. I will serve Him because I love Him. Regardless of what my wife does or my children does, I will. God's calling me. I love God. Always narrows it down to the you. He always looks you right in the eye and says, "What? Who do you say that I am?" Right? Well, who do men say that I am? Well, they say you're John the Baptist and one of the prophets and Elijah and whatever. And Jesus said, well, that's fine. That's interesting. Well, what about you? You see what he's doing there? He's being very personal to the individual. Who do you say that I am? And Peter looked him right back in the eye, I believe, and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon, because the Holy Spirit has revealed that unto you. Not any man. You didn't get that from any man. That was the Holy Spirit who revealed who I am to you. And blessed are you because of it. Amen? Walk with God, sir. Walk with God, ma'am. Dig in your own heels. God only knows which direction your children are going to go. I mean, we pray for them, we raise them in the ways of God, and we pour into their lives. But once they become adults, it's almost an insult for us to order their lives. They're individuals before God now. You don't influence their lives anymore. You influence them behind the scenes, on your knees, in your prayer closet. That's where it really matters anyway, because God answers the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous individual avail as much. Do you still believe that? and you move and you pray and you seek God and you say, Father, I don't have a lot of influence now and I can't really change them now. You know, he's 30 years old, 40 years old, got his own family, whatever. I can't really do that now, but you can. Do you still have faith in God like that? But you can. And I've seen many people come to Christ down the road on the surface. You would never be able to say that God was working on them. But deep down in their heart and in their mind, they were wrestling with God, and God was convicting them of sin, and they were turning, some of them ever so slowly and others with a jump. But God knows how to do his work. It's time for us to trust the Lord and be faithful to our calling. Do you trust him enough to enable him to take care of your children once you lay them at his feet and at him on a regular basis? You remind him, not because he needs to be reminded, but because you need to remind yourself, I guess. And so we continue to, do you trust him like that? Do you have a relationship, a trusting relationship? There's all kinds of relationships. God loves to be trusted. We say we trust him, but when push comes to shove and we really find ourselves in the treadmill of turmoil, I wonder, do we trust him as much as we say? It's easy to speak, isn't it? God loves to be trusted because he is a trustworthy God. God values relationship so much so with you that he paid for it with the precious blood of his own son. Jesus' precious blood, innocent, holy, perfect, precious blood was the price that was shed so that God could have relationship with you, being reconciled to God. So much so that he makes it the first and the greatest commandment. You can't do anything higher and anything better then have a strong relationship with God. Amen? In fact, he says, on these two commandments hang everything that I said thus far. Everything the prophets said, the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, all that wrapped up is on those. On these two commandments are covers all of that. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy neighbor as thyself. I once heard a preacher say, whether he's right or wrong, you can discern for yourself. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then go do as you please. Because the truth is, if we are loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, what we do will always be pleasing to him. We would never go into an arena that would be displeasing to him. We would be afraid that we would grieve his love. It's a whole new level of living, is it not? And yet it's this level, high level of love that God calls us to and walk in. Relationship in the kingdom of God, relationship before responsibility. And we Christians have our responsibilities. My goodness, the list is long. Do we not? We are very responsible. We are responsible to love our neighbors, even if we don't like them. We are responsible to love our enemies. We are responsible to be faithful to our spouses. We are responsible to raise our children in the knowledge of Christ. We are responsible to carry the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You carry the name, and therefore you represent, you're an ambassador of Christ. That is a high responsibility. A serious one. We're responsible to provide for our families, and on the list goes. We can be overwhelmed with responsibility, and that's why we need relationship first. Because if you're not drawing your strength from Jesus as you lay upon his breast, the old hymn says, then your responsibility will overwhelm you. It will become mechanical and cold and a religious form of ceremony. Without the living presence and the living life of God. Let me say this. If you don't have a good, strong relationship with Jesus, your responsibility will kill you. Even if it's religious responsibility. You will feel so overwhelmed with the things that need to be done. and that you feel the responsibility to do. By the way, that's a very subtle strategy of the enemy. If he can't trip you up and stop you in your tracks, you know what he'll do? He'll take something that's legitimate, although it's not priority, and he'll push it to an extreme. First things first. God's way works. God infuses us with his strength when we walk his way. All of these responsibilities, and yet none of them are to come first. None of them can be allowed. Do you hear me? I say the word allowed. None of them can be allowed to become first or the greatest. That's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, if any man is not willing to forsake father and mother and spouses and siblings and follow me, he's not worthy of me. That's the emphasis that he's... That's what he means. In other words, if you're not willing to make me the priority and keep me on the throne, then it's almost like the flow of power is cut off. I don't know if I would say that, but responsibility must come before... Our relationship must come before responsibility. I was listening to a song just this week. I forget the name of the artist, but some of the lyrics stuck out to me. And it says, she said this, before I bring my need, I will bring my heart. Before I raise my cares, I will raise my arms. In worship and in adoration, all brothers and sisters, the pattern is laid out for us in Scripture. We are to come into his presence. We dare not enter into his presence. We have no right to, and we dare not enter into the holy presence without being sprinkled by the pure blood of Jesus. Worship is unacceptable to God if it is not washed, if the worshiper is not first washed in the blood of Jesus, made holy. The pattern is in the New Testament and the Old. The first thing that they had to encounter was the brazen altar. And then the table of showbread. And then the holy place. And then the most holy place. And they dared not rush past the brazen altar to get into the place of fellowship or the most holy place. We dare not rush into the presence of God in a casual manner without first having repented of our sin and having been washed in the blood of Jesus, made vessels that are worthy by the blood of Jesus. You say, I feel unworthy. But if you repented of your sin and you confessed your sin, he is faithful and just to blot out your transgressions. And now you come in confidently and boldly and express your heart before God. And the Spirit bears witness. If you're guilty, the Spirit will convict you. He's pretty faithful with that. Then when we confess it, we come before his holy presence and we begin with God. We begin with his greatness. We begin with the perfections of his character, with the greatness of who he is and his glory and his honor. And only then do we bring our needs. We come in love, not with a list. I say we come in love. We come in adoration. We come to adore first. And we don't begin with our list. We come God's way. Prayer is the pattern that's laid out in Scripture. Prayer is not rushing into the presence of God with a list of things that you need him to do for you. Prayer is beginning with love and adoration and worship and receiving from his presence and knowing that he's God and he's alive whether he answers a need or not. And then he instructs us to bring our request, to bring our needs, to approach in the right manner. If the priest in the Old Testament approached in the wrong manner, he was struck dead. May we have that same sensitivity to the holy presence of God. Relationship is the best thing, is the thing that God puts the most value upon. And having said that, I'm closing with this thought. There are two levels of relationship. There's relationship that we're born with, and relationship that's developed. You say, what kind of relationship does God want with us? Both. You can't develop a relationship until you're born first. But some folks are only born and they develop no further. There are relationships that we are born with. I'm born relationally into a... Like, I know I have distant cousins, but I have no relationship with them. I was born. It was my mother's sister's children, and mom had us. And so if you're like most, I don't know the way it was in Alberta, but years ago, the families were so large that my mother came from a family of 14. I got cousins I had never even met yet. And we have no relationship. I know who they are. I spoke to one guy on the phone, and he bought a cottage off of me, and he transferred me the finances in my account, and I never laid eyes on him. He's my first cousin. I spoke to him on the phone. We did business, and we're cousins. Maybe we'll get a chance to meet sometime. Never did. Still don't know him. He lives in Cambridge, Ontario. Still don't know. We have no relationship, but we're related. You know that our walk with God in Christianity is exactly like that? You must be born in order to be related. Spiritually, to be related to God, you must be born again. Born of the Spirit is one way that the Scriptures put it. In order to be made alive unto God, you have to be born of the Spirit. It starts there. But you know, some folks, they are born and they are in right relationship legally to God because they were born, but they are not in a relationship. They're not in a living, daily, vital, real relationship. You talk to them and they say, I gave my heart to the Lord. I was born again like 25 years ago. Well, how's your walk with God? Well, that's okay, I guess. Do you read your Bible? No. You go to church? No, I think I can survive without church. That's a big fall. That's a mistake, my friends. You know, people say, well, I believe in God, but I don't go to church. Well, whoop-de-doo, so do the devils. That's what James says. You believe in God? Well, so what? The devils believe in God and they tremble. It's not going to do you any good to say, I believe in God, but I'm not going to repent of my sin. It's not going to do any of us any good. I believe in God. It's even worse. I believe in Him, but I'm not going to serve Him. That's terrible. And that's usually because they don't really know Him, because to know Him is to love Him. I will serve thee because I love thee. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Doesn't that do something for you in your soul? Don't you feel your spirit rise? Didn't you feel that when Brother was singing it? The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Yes, amen. Is that your experience? You say, well, I go to church because she wants me to go. You know, I don't want to cause trouble at home. And so, how's your relationship with God? And then there's relationships that are developed over time. God wants that too. You know, they say, well, how's your relationship with you? How many know you can live with a man or a woman, you can live with your spouse in your home and still have no relationship? You're related by marriage because you signed a deed. You said a few I do's and you signed a deed, but there's no relationship beyond that. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want that kind of Christianity. God wants, and then there's relationship in marriage that is developed. Thank you very much. My wife and I were married today for 35 years. Give us a hand to pray. It takes time to build a marriage. It has to be developed. And what I'm saying to you this morning is that God wants us, wants you to develop a strong, deeper, He's calling you deeper. He's calling you closer. He's calling you to be successful. And you'll only succeed under the shadow of His wing. This is not hit and miss. This is not, you don't need to be a brain surgeon. The problem in the Western world is we are so preoccupied and so busy that we've left Him behind. I don't have time to develop a close walk with God. You're of all men most miserable. You have to be. The most miserable person I've ever met in my life are those who know the truth deep in their heart and they choose to live a lie. The backslider has got to be the most miserable man. I make the wonder he drinks. Sure, you'd have to drink a bottle a day to kill the nagging voice of knowing that you're living a lie. I thank God today that I'm not living a lie. I'm walking in the truth. Amen? Can you do that as a church? You know him? He walks with you? He's more real to you than your spouse? Or as real as your spouse? Relationship that is developed is like the relationship of a couple who, or maybe friendship is a good word. Your nearest and dearest and best friend in whom you put your absolute trust dearly. Is that your relationship with God? That's what he wants. That's what he's after. That's what he's calling you to. If it is, then walk with him. Praise God. Draw closer. You say, well, I'm pretty close. Get closer. Can we get too close to God? Anybody here that's too close to God, can you raise your hand, please? I need to talk with you after the service. I need to have a chat with you. I want to see how you got to the place you are. And my guess is if you're too close to God or if you are close to God, and I have no doubt that there are people in this congregation who are close to God. Don't misunderstand me. And if you are, it took development, it took time, it took experience, it took proving him in the fiery furnace, it took proving him in the wilderness, it took experiencing the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it took experiencing the anointing of God, it took experiencing somebody touching you and healing you, it took you experience that he's yours and doesn't just belong to somebody else. It's your walk. God calls you and it's your walk with God. Praise God. God is calling us closer. God is calling us higher. Let us determine. And I'll close with this sentence. It just comes to my mind, the words of Jesus. And I think it applies here. He says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And then he makes this statement, which kind of punched me in the gut recently. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Some people will give a bowl of cereal, bowl of pottage for their birthright. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Some people will give up his soul for 10 minutes of sexual pleasure with another man's wife. For his soul. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Some people will give it up for a case of beer and a weekend with the boys. I'm not willing to serve Jesus because of what my friends would say. The eternal soul. That's a sobering and a penetrating question, isn't it? What would a man give in exchange for his soul?